Well, it's good to see you this morning. I didn't bring the air horn this morning. I didn't bring a cattle prod either, so we're fairly safe today. Good morning. Good morning. How are you today? Beautiful day in the Ozarks. The elders and I we've been talking, and they're going to have a meeting today, and so I'm hoping to be able to give a little bit of a contrast today, as our normal worship service this morning, and then in a moment, the traditional sermon style format. Is one that we will use at that moment, but they're talking about the possibility of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday being a little different format. So I wanted to use this time as a different format. I don't know about you, but I get sick and tired of lectures. Anybody sick and tired of lectures? I spent last week in Massachusetts, in Marlboro, Massachusetts, sitting and for 3 days listening to lecture after lecture, and I just tell the truth, I just got tired. And so I want our time right now to be a interaction. I want us to be able to converse back and forth due to the fact that this is a Bible class format. We're going to have a Bible discussion and be able to talk with each other. So I encourage you that as you have a thought, as you have a comment, you know, whether it be the raise your hand or wait for the silence and speak, whichever method you pick, just don't scratch your head because I'm probably going to call on you. So no scratching, pulling the ear. This is not an auction. So, you know, pulling this, you're probably going to be called on. But I want us to talk about a challenging subject, and that is the subject of emotions. The title for our Bible class hour is Bad Emotions. And so I want us to have a conversation about emotions. I want us to talk about that today and have a little bit, hopefully when we're done, a better understanding of emotions, a better understanding of what God thinks about our emotions, and then to start challenging the way we are currently dealing with our emotions. So if you're okay with it, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will begin our class this morning. Dear mighty and wonderful God, we love you so much. We come to you with humble hearts, knowing how great and awesome and wonderful you are, and knowing how weak and sinful we are, and to think about the huge things that you have provided for us emotionally and spiritually, physically, and ultimately through Jesus, your Son, for him to die on the cross for our sins. God, you give so much. And we are so miserable in comparison, but we are grateful to you for all that we have, all that you do for us. And we want to tell you how much we love you and how much we appreciate you. And we do that through our lives, through our choices, through our words to others, and through our worship to you. And as we continue this study, clear our minds of the issues of life, clear our minds of the difficulties of the day, and let us focus on being able to learn what you have to tell us about our emotions and how to be a better servant to you. In your Son's name we pray, amen. One of the things that we do at the ranch where I work is one of the cottages has two walls. They're double, or two doors, excuse me. And the doors have been painted with this really cool paint. It turns it into chalkboard. It's called chalkboard paint. Y'all seen that? That's really cool. So we painted the doors. And so every now and then when we get ready to do a group, we will then pull out the chalk and get to write on the doors. And the kids love it when we do that. And so one day I did a group session. And I said, all right, let's write down all the bad emotions. So we got the chalk out and we began writing on this particular door. And it was interesting because we began, as you normally do, in the upper left-hand corner of the door, began to write these emotions. And as I was writing the emotion, the pause would then introduce another emotion. And so, one after another, I began to write each emotion listed by one of the young ladies or gentlemen. By the time we were done, we had four columns of words. Four columns. I thought, wow, interesting. And we discussed it. So here's our topic, all right? Here's the interactive portion. This is where I'm quiet. You get to speak. List a bad emotion. What is a bad emotion? List one of them. What is a bad emotion? Give me an example. Say again. Temper. Oh, yes. What else you got? Jealousy. Angry. Greed. Envy. Hate. Say again. Impatient. Yeah, I can feel impatient quite often. I got two boys at the house. What else you got? Come on, I got kids that are 9 years old that gave me a list of four columns. Y'all got like six. Pride. Say again. Pride. Lust. Yeah. Confusion. That's where I'm at right now. What else you got? Sorrow. Coveting. Oh, easy now. Yes. Stress. What else you got? Is that it? Is that all we got? Rage. Say again. Kindness. Okay. Love. See, now we're getting a little different list, aren't we? We went from having bad things, and I guess we got too many bad things. We got to get a couple of good ones in there. You know, it's funny. We could sit here and we could talk for quite a while now, and you and I could create a fairly lengthy list. I did with 8 through 12-year-olds the other day, and we created a four-column list of bad emotions. It is interesting to see what we characterize as a bad emotion. Some of us mentioned anger. Psalm 4 and verse number 4. Somebody read that for me, please. What's Psalm 4 and verse 4 say? Nobody brought a Bible? Oh, anybody bring a Bible with you? Psalm 4, verse 4, what does it say? Okay, other versions use the word angry. Be angry and do not sin. Someone used, read Psalm 97 verse 10. Psalm 97 verse 10.
Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for He guards the lives of His faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked.
Okay. What about, someone read 2 Corinthians 7, 6 through 10. 2 Corinthians 7, 6 through 10. We get into these situations in life to where we start wanting to limit our feelings. We create lists, as we did a moment ago, and we describe this as being a bad emotion. If we have described something as being a bad emotion, we then put it on the category of don't go there. We try to, as individuals, as humans, begin to express this feeling as a feeling that I must avoid, and it's a bad emotion, and I need to be upset with myself if I ever feel this way. And yet we read Scripture, and we begin to read things like Psalm 4:4, which indicates that it's okay to be angry. I read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I read that sorrow is okay, grief is acceptable, guilt is okay to feel. We read Psalm 97, and we read that we're actually instructed to hate some things. But I thought these were all on the bad list. I thought these were the bad list emotions, the ooh, don't do that emotions. And when we create this bad list, we then get to feeling upset with ourselves. We begin to have difficulty with our own identities because, oh, I felt that way. And yet, we also create this idea that if I feel this way, then I'm sinning. Notice for just a second, Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26, as we know, is the recording of the accounts just before the crucifixion of Jesus. And in Matthew's account, as well as in Mark's account, Jesus is given credit for making a statement that we would call bad. Look, if you would, at verse number 37. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 37. Of course, he has now separated himself to a place called Gethsemane, verse 36. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go there and pray." And he takes with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. If you go to Mark's account, Mark expands to the point that Jesus actually indicates, "I am sorrowful, I am hurting to the point of death." But I thought that was a bad thing. Because we indicated a second ago, these are bad emotions, and Jesus Himself, the Son of God, is indicating clearly He's got anxiety. He's indicating clearly that he's even suffering from what we would describe a moment ago as depression. Sadness. Grief. And yet, they're bad emotions. What do we do to ourselves when we start to feel one of these emotions and we equate it as being a bad thing? Anybody ever felt sad and said, "Man, I can't feel sad. This is just wrong. I shouldn't feel sad." Anybody ever done that? Yeah. Anybody ever got angry? Just got mad? Just said, I'm sinning just because I'm mad. Well, didn't Jesus? Did he get a little angry, if I remember right? Sometimes I think we get this understanding of sin and emotions mixed up. Somebody tell me, where did emotions come from? God. Are we sure? That was pretty emphatic. I mean, that was, That was pretty emphatic. Anybody want to challenge her? I sure don't. That's dangerous. I'm going to stand over here. Yeah, there's no doubt. Oh, yeah, well, she got you instead of me. The reality is that God gave us emotion. It's one of the major things that separates us from a dog or a cat of some sort. The range of emotions that are felt in humanity are so much greater than the emotions that are found in any other being in the world. God gave us our emotions. What was it that God said when He created man? Got it all done. He said, "It is what? It's good." Except for the emotion part, right? Isn't that what Genesis says? Man is good except he gets angry. Man is good except he feels this way. You and I both realize and know that isn't the case, don't we? Our emotions come from God. God has given us emotions. He's allowed us to have those. He encourages us to use them. He begs us to handle them the right way. But you and I, sometimes we get lost in that. We get angry because we got angry. We get this and that, and we have these issues with our feelings. But the reality is that our emotions, there's not necessarily anything bad about an emotion. It's what you do with it that becomes the problem. I mean, have we not realized that being angry is going to many times keep us safe? Being angry is going to help us to be able to identify right from wrong. But do I have the right to go punch somebody because I'm angry? Do I have the right to begin to add to my vocabulary words that hurt and harm because, well, I am angry? So where does the sin come? Sin comes whenever I act angry. One of the rules we have at the ranch is it's okay to feel angry. It's not okay to act angry. We encourage our children. We encourage our boys and girls. We encourage people to feel. It's okay. It's okay to feel. It's acceptable. Feeling is a good thing. Problems come as then whenever you start to deal with how you feel. We can have all these different choices, and that's where we start to now have an issue. Think about it. Think about the list we created a minute ago. The list we created a minute ago had the list of all the bad emotions. It's funny that the ones that we had, the ones that we listed, most all of us have to deal with, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we are sinning. It's what you do with that emotion. Even when it comes to the idea of lust, are we not tempted almost every day with lust? With the things that we hear, or the things that are seen, the things that are said, the conversations that are had around us? All the things that we're bombarded with this emotion constantly. But what do you do with it? What do you do when you feel these things? So I want to talk about something that we talk about in the ranch. Again, I'm the practical guy. I'm not the here's the problem, have a nice day kind of guy. I'm the here's the problem and here's some solutions to the problem. So let's talk about something called think, feel, and act. Somebody define for me think. This ought to be entertaining. Somebody define for me thinking. Oh, now you're silent. Okay, thank you. It's in my head, absolutely. No doubt about that. What is thinking? Say again. Contemplating, all right, yes. Processing information. Analyzing what? Situation, okay. Thinking is an analyzation of the situation. Analyzing, okay. You're thinking or have thoughts involved. Ideas. Self-talk. Oh, I thought that was wrong. I can talk to myself? That's sweet. I thought that was a sign of getting old if you're talking to yourself. I'm old, I can tell you that. I talk to myself all the time. I have conversations. Anybody else do that? No? Good. Okay, well. Yeah, we talk back and forth to ourselves. We're inside of our own brain having a side conversation, right? We're one side talking to the other. We're thinking, yes. What else? Wow. Applying cognitive reasoning to any situation. Does anybody know what cognitive means other than me in this room? Cognitive is a word that we use in mental health to be able to keep from defining the word thinking. We use the idea of cognitive as the brain's interaction with itself and communicating and handling a situation or question or problem. When we think about thinking, we are using these wonderful little parts in our brain, these synapses, and they're conversing back and together back and forth having this conversation. We are using the front part of our brain, if we're using a logical portion of our brain, and trying to figure out, if I say what is 2 plus 2, your brain is currently traveling up in here somewhere trying to figure out that it's 8, right? I'm from Missouri, my bad. But we have then this traveling in the front, and it goes, okay, 2 plus 2, 4. You may even in your brain be going to your memory and bringing up the flashcards your mama used to use in order to help teach you 2 plus 2 is 4. And so we use then in our thinking, we now have this processing going on. It is an analyzing, great word. It is going through and seeing what is happening, and all of these processes are going on. That's thinking. Somebody define feeling for me. What is a feeling? This is even more entertaining. What's a feeling? Okay, feelings are our response to an emotion. Okay, we have a feeling of sadness if someone that doesn't understand God's Word, doesn't apply God's Word. It has been one of those things that, honestly, emotions cannot be explained with a language. Have you ever, you ought to read the Webster's definition of feeling. It's funny. Feeling is an emotion. Oh, great. Let's go look up emotion. What is an emotion? A feeling. Ah, thank you. We have this issue with feelings. We have this huge problem. We can't define it. Closest thing we have in the written language to define love is 1 Corinthians 13. What does 1 Corinthians 13 tell you? All the things that it does. It doesn't tell you what it is, because in human abilities and in our words, we cannot make sense of it. We cannot be able to create this perfect little box and say, hey, that's it. Yes, sir. Say again. Some are good and some are not so good, depending on how we handle it. And as we think about feelings, it is sometimes our response to emotions, our response to a stimuli, something that happens. It is how we then react to it. Yes. Okay, if our thought is in the mind, our feeling is in our heart. Okay, thank you. Yes. Feelings do have a connection to our physical bodies. And we use this a lot in the ranch, is if someone is saying, I feel angry, we'll ask, well, where do you feel that in your body? Where do you feel that? We'll use what's called a hot-cold technique in saying, does the body need something hot? Does the body need something cold? And where does it need it? And so, absolutely. Yes? Feelings are neither right nor wrong. They are. In and of themselves, there's no issue with feelings. In and of themselves. We'll talk a minute about more of that. But what I want us to see at this point is to understand that when it comes to thinking, when it comes to feeling, we get it. We understand it. But to make it come out here the right way is like tough. Because it is one of those untouchable things. We call it an abstract idea. I can't grab it. This is concrete. I can touch it and I can move it and I can mold it and I can make it do things. You can't do that with abstract stuff. And that's the issue with thinking and feeling, is the fact that they're abstract. They're done in here without being able to touch them. But the third one is action. What is an action or behavior? What is an action or behavior? Yes. It is. Adjective. Good. Okay. Sometimes it's a reaction to a feeling. Okay. The things that we do in reaction to a stimulus. What is an action? Okay. You and I need to talk. I really like you. Physical manifestation of thoughts and feelings. when we think of actions, it is a movement. It is a physical alteration of our position. And that physical alteration is what we describe as being behavior or action. So when we think about think, feel, and behavior, what time do I have to be quiet? Nobody knows. Okay, I'm here until I don't feel like it. What? 10 after? Oh, I got 15 minutes. Okay, I need to volunteer. Can you help me since you're the intern? Come on, man. Come stand here beside me. I'm Nathan. Nice to meet you. You're tiny, right? Nice to meet you, tiny. I don't have to look up to very many people. This is kind of cool. Now I know what the kids at the ranch feel like. Hi, Mr. Nathan. It's nice to meet you. How are you?
Good.
Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Can you do me a favor?
Sure.
Don't move. You're moving. Don't move. We're going to go about, let's give him 10 seconds. 10 seconds, you okay with that? Don't move. Do you have 10 seconds? Do not move. Don't 10 seconds. Ready? Go. Okay, your head's moving. Oh, your eyes are moving now. Oh. Okay, let me try that again. Okay, 10 seconds. Don't move. Ready? Go. Your hand just moved. Now let me back up again. What are we finding out? We can't not act. We're going to move no matter what. You can stand here as tight as you want, and guess what? You're still going to move because you've got to breathe. Thank you. Glad to know I'm not the only new guy around here. We can't not act. We can't not do things. No matter what. I had one kid. I did this in a group the other day, and I brought a girl up. I said, "Stand." I said, "Don't move." She looked at me. And I said, "Oh, you move. Don't move." I said, "Don't move." I had a girl who sat in the audience and said, "I can do that. I can do that." Okay, go ahead. Come on up here. She comes up here. Guess what? She made it a half a second. "Oh, I want to do it again." "Go ahead." "Oh, you didn't make it. Never mind." We are going to move. Period. We're going to move. We cannot not act. We did this in college one time, and the instructor that was teaching us this brought a girl up and says, "Okay, don't move." And so we did like a minute, and we were all writing down frantically all the movements that the girl that wasn't supposed to do was moving. And so we did the minute, and we said, "Well, what did you say?" "Well, she did this, and she moved there, and she moved that, and she did this, and she did that." And we were just piling it up. She thought she did good. And so he says, "Okay, let's do that again." She goes, "All right, ready, go." And she goes, we all busted up laughing. That was pretty good. So she sat back down. But it's funny. We move, we act, we behave. We're going to do it. So as Christians, we have to be better at handling the connection between think, feeling, and acting. So let's talk about this a minute and we'll wrap it up. Thinking, the process in which we get our brain to work. The process in which we take whatever the event is, we analyze it, we go through it, we begin to just figure out the right choice, the right things to do. In the process of that happening, as our brain is starting to think, we are then going to start to feel. Our emotions are going to kick in. We're going to then begin to feel according to whatever we were thinking. And our feelings are now going to be brought in together, and they're going to be linked together, and now they're going to be working together with each other to ultimately, as they pinball back and forth, the behavioral choice is correct because of the amount of thinking, the right feeling, and then the behavioral choice is then made. This is what happens when we are healthy. This is what's happening when we are doing the right things. Problem is that we're human, and we don't all the time do the right thing. So let me see if you can think of a person like this. You ever know anybody that is highly impulsive? Highly impulsive. They have a feeling and in an instant they're doing something about it. I mean, just beyond understanding how fast. As soon as there's a feeling, there's a behavior right behind it. You know anybody like that? I got a cottage of 12. Y'all want to come watch? A feeling occurs, whatever it might be. And again, remember, we have created a list of bad emotions. We've created a list of emotions we don't like to deal with. The one that we have the most issue with at the ranch is the feeling of guilt. somebody does something wrong, they feel guilty for it. Believe it or not, that's a good thing. Even Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I'm glad you felt guilty because it led you to godly sorrow. That's because they were thinking, feeling, and behaving. The issue is that when a child who is struggling or an adult struggles with impulsive behavior, they have a feeling. That feeling is met with an immediate reaction. Oftentimes without thinking, without contemplating, without seeing the consequence, without addressing the issues that are there, but an immediate choice followed by that feeling. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse number 30. On this occasion, we're going to be looking for a moment at King Saul. King Saul and his time with David was met quite often with an emotion, followed then by a behavior. And in verse number 30, it says, King Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. Who is Jonathan? His son. His anger was kindled against his own son. And he said to him, the son of a perverse and rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to our shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom shall be established. Therefore, send and bring him to me. Jonathan's response, no. Verse 33, Saul hurled his spear at him to strike him at Jonathan. Remind me who Jonathan is again? His son. Sometimes we build up a wall in this process of think, feel, and act. We build up a wall right between the thinking and the feeling parts. And we put a wall right there. We don't let our brains get in gear. We don't let our brains begin to address what's happening. We don't think clearly. Matter of fact, we do our best not to think at all. We can go into a long process of why that happens in the brain, but hey, I don't want to bore you with the details. But we then slam this particular issue, our feeling, into the back of our brain. We then now allow ourselves to react. You have then Saul doing the same thing. He reacts by now calling his own son names, including insulting his own wife, which is quite interesting. Crazy guy. And he does that, and then on top of that, he then grabs a spear and tries to kill his own son. Reactionary behavior to an emotion he doesn't want to deal with. Oftentimes in our life, when we find ourselves impulsive, it's because we can't get our brain involved. Our brain is not taking control and leading us in the right direction. Obviously, Saul had an issue with this. Second thing is the idea of bottling our emotions. Sometimes we will build a wall, not between the think and the feel, but between the feeling and the behavior. Instead of presenting then a behavior that helps us to relieve the emotions or the thinking, we then build a wall bottling those emotions, bringing it then back to our thinking, which then begins to turn on an emotion undealt with. And as that emotion is now undealt with and unmanaged, we then produces more feelings that don't get managed. When those feelings don't get managed, it bottles back up into thoughts, which turns on the new things, and then on and on and on. You ever talked with somebody, had a conversation with somebody, and then like a week later, they walk up just blowing the top, you know, the whole vein out the neck and the whole red face. And they've spent a week churning on something that they have blown so stinking out of proportion that it is absolutely ridiculous. Y'all ever had that happen to y'all? Nobody. Okay, well, I might be different. But we see that, don't we? And all that time, they spent this entire time fuming on one word, one thought, one idea that you didn't even really say. But they've spent a week blowing up in their mind what did or could have happened. when in the whole entire time, all they had to do was call up and say, "Is this what you said?" "No, that wasn't what I said. I was saying, oh, okay, no big deal. Click, it's over." The behavior was never allowed to be presented. But instead, we have now bottled our emotions. Anybody deal with that? Yep, don't have to raise your hand. We bottle them, don't we? We hold it in. We don't want it out. So we begin to hoard them and bottle them, and we put them in. And so, any of y'all ever taken a good Dr. Pepper? Cold. It works best if you do it with cold. Good 20-ounce Dr. Pepper. Shake it up real good and then pop the top. You ever seen that? Great. We use it as an example in the ranch because you and I know what's about to happen to that Dr. Pepper. It's really cool. Especially if you get someone else to clean up the mess. We know what happens. We bottle it up, we shake it up, then we pop a top, and it blows all over the place. We do that ourselves, but usually the behavior that we choose is horrendous behavior, terrible behavior. We bottle it, we hold it. I want us to talk about 2 Samuel chapter 13, 18 through 20, and we're going to talk about this on Tuesday, so I'm not going to get into great detail. But I want you to think about 2 Samuel chapter 13. And I want you to kind of be reading about that, because come Tuesday we're going to talk about that when we talk about trauma and broken glass. But in this particular situation, needless to say, there was a bottling that occurred, and it was some poor decisions because of it. So the thing I want us to think about, though, is the issue. We cannot build our walls in the process. We must allow our thinking, our feeling, our acting to be appropriate and to move through. Look, if you would, at Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45, beginning with verse number 4. Genesis chapter 45, we have here Joseph providing for his brothers. He's providing for them, and he says there in chapter 45, beginning with verse number 4, "So Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come near to me, please.' And they came near, and he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not distress or be angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life.'" To me, this is a man who has spent some time thinking, feeling, and responding appropriately. Can't imagine the thoughts that went through his mind as his brothers jumped in. Can't imagine the feelings as he falls to the bottom of this of the pit. I can't imagine watching the face of his brothers as they look at the money that they have now traded his life for. I can't imagine the events that took place, but I can see constantly throughout the Scriptures a man that kept his mind focused on God, managed his emotions according to those thoughts, and was able ultimately to make the right behavior, action, choice. For many of us, we do have some bad reactions to emotions. We are not acting like Christians. And it's not the emotions' fault. It's the way we're handling the emotions. 5 minutes? 2 minutes. And so I want us to think about today, and I want you to be considering, how are you handling what is going on? The emotions aren't bad. It's the way that you're handling it. It's the way I'm handling it. It's what I'm doing when I feel this way. So when I think about events, things that take place in my life, I need to continue to get my brain involved. I have got to be thinking godly. I got to be thinking, how would Christ think? What would Jesus think in this particular moment? What do I need to learn from the godly men of old to learn how I should be thinking in this situation? And women of old, don't let me be prejudiced there. Because the reality is we need to get our brains in gear to then manage our emotions that are going to come, to be able to address them in a healthy manner so that our behaviors can be called healthy behaviors, healthy choices. Because that's what God is asking and expecting of us. Use our thinking to work through our emotions to pick the choice that God is pleased with. Final questions or thoughts as we close? Yes. Yes. God is a very emotional being. Absolutely. We will close there. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.